Hi. Thank you for the wonderful night. This has just been incredible. I'm wearing my vintage Ziggy Stardust t-shirt. Vintage. Yes, it's got the track listings on the back. On the back. Yes. It's full of holes, so I had to wear another black t-shirt underneath it. All right, I'm going to begin with a poem, excuse me, about a gay icon, probably the opera diva of the 20th century, and I'm sure you'll know who she is by the end of the poem. Her face was a grave image, even smiling. She wore a sunbonnet with a white plastic daisy, her long scarf a snake down her arm. And she walked a black mini poodle with topiary puffs for legs and head. Sure, she looked like she had it all together, thin as a brooch, her glamour, her thrilling, supernal perfection of tone. But there was this tension. It nearly killed her when she came down with bronchitis on opening night. There she was, set to sing Norma for heads of state and the opera's composer, Vincenzo Bellini, and she moaned off after act one. It was Loge d'Or, baby, inside the theater. After that, they told her to leave opera, but Callas would not be Callas if she did what she was told. Destiny, she called it. It's not caring how the rain makes you wet. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, this next poem begins with a quote from the music critic Robert Christgau, writing about Phoebe Snow. And the poem's called Sweet Grit. And the quote is, "Could have been a diva, wasn't tough enough." I never fought or fucked my contemporaries. I always held back, kept my shirt on. That part of me remains a gap I carry from the past, my stoical refusal to have a youth when young. And they all wanted to fight this hairy rain cat, and some even wanted to fuck my timid wheel. So what did Christgau think he knew that made him say she wasn't tough enough? They all knew how lonely I was, those ones I could never get close to. And snow seems to touch all the unsmooth parts of me and make them smooth. Silent snow angels with frayed old nylon wings. This next poem I really owe to Joan, who encouraged me and gave me information about something that's in the poem. And so I dedicated it to her. It's called Immaculate Heart for Joan E. Bauer. We are not only the bodies we are born with, all of us, many bodies in life, each one natural as any other. And not only bodies of ages, bodies of times. I was born both female and male-bodied. This is what is natural to me. For how can inborn trait be not natural? Could shadow be other than what it casts, or that other than what casts it? I am the wrong one to ask. And yet, are we all outcast from our bodies? Bodies of wrestlers, of infantrymen, bodies of AIDS nurses, missionary bodies. In Los Angeles in the 1960s, the schoolteacher nuns of the Immaculate Heart tried to wear modern dress instead of their wimples. They got fired en masse by Cardinal MacIntyre. Whose bodies were those nuns? Or were they future fragments, unheralded, disbelieved? Did God speak through their yearnings? Or were they, as the cardinal believed, misguided tools of sin? As if they should not be many-bodied, naturally mingling, like my intersex body, mingling female and male, bodies as equals, as equals, as equals, bodies at work and bodies at play, bodies of sisters, bodies of cardinals, bodies wrinkled and hidebound, bodies sobered, tattooed bodies, bodies born and born and born. Thank you. Thank you. So the next few poems are coming out of a couple different backgrounds. One is my extreme despair and anger at the state of the nation right now, and the pain, the massive pain that's being inflicted on the world by the decisions of this administration. And the other background of these poems comes from my being intersex, which I was born intersex, and it's a naturally occurring random genetic variable where I have both male and female physiological, biological components. And this, let me tell you, this caused so much craziness and chaos at every stage of my life, particularly starting at puberty, which was where I first lost my mind. And I can't really explain what it's like to have so much estrogen. I have way more estrogen than I should. I have way less testosterone. And it's something that's been hard to learn to live with. But I've been reading more about it. I've been writing about it. I'm writing a series of poems called The Male Vagina Does This, The Male Vagina Does That. And this one is called The Male Vagina Googles Herself. From Wikipedia, I learn about myself. I'm a curse. I'm a supernatural being. And my mother might be a witch. I'm a sign of that. I'm an ancient type. Diodorus Siculus in the first century reports the hermaphroditus. In Rome, what is now Italy, I was rife. I'm plural. I am they and I am them. I am we and I am us. Early Brits thought common law let me inherit man and woman's share. I'm a self-pollinating flower. I'm the third box, the one you cannot check on forms because it's never offered. I learn what I have always known. I'm a social emergency. Thank you. That poem was just accepted by Jill Khoury for Rogue Agent. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So I wrote a poem about the Stonewall Uprising. It's purely allohistorical. You know, I don't know if it happened exactly this way or what the background, but I was trying to give a sense of the frustration that those people felt. It's called Resisting Arrest, Stonewall, 1969. Let me get a sip of water. The Latin trans woman underneath the streetlight is bending over. This same cop just busted her last night for being in public dressed as herself, her bad and beautiful self. Busted her for being in a bar. This very same cop back again tonight, and now she bends over to pick up a brick. He smacked her around, made her go down, shook out her last two bits, threw her in a cell for cold morning hours. Now it's beginning again. He is back raiding the bar, the only place where she dares approach who she really is, a person she recognizes through the fear she is finally done with now. And she lobs her brick at the cop's head and screams from the tip of her penis to the top of her heart, "No." Was that anything like what you expected? Okay, just two more, I think. This is called Charlottesville, Virginia. Oh, by the way, follow me on Instagram. I read my poetry there. It's Justin_Vicari. And I also have copies of both of my poetry books for sale, $10 a piece. It's a steal. Charlottesville, Virginia. My memories are as divided as the nation. I have my own history with the city where Heather Heyer was struck and killed by a maniacal Nazi. That was where my parents took me on vacation while I was growing up. For 1 week every summer, we felt wealthy at the Boar's Head Resort with geese around the lake and a steam bath. Blacks in colonial attire filled our heavy glasses with water in the heat and the horseflies. I looked into a room ajar and saw her, black maid in an apron, making the beds. She looked like my mother at home. How many times we toured Monticello, our guide detailing every invention while hurrying us past the ghostly slave quarters in back of the mansion. It was easy to avoid that conversation in 1979. Okay. Here we go with what sells. It's bad for us. There is war against the people divided and enslaved, the party's war to hide the fact that we are ruled by right-wing billionaires whose vision of America requires fraud and racist parsings of blood. How many billions do these crooked bigots think they need? How many billions do these crooked bigots think they need? America was my stillborn vagina, incomplete, unopenable. 2 years under Trump, more homeless than ever on the streets of downtown Pittsburgh. Please help, they ask. I have not eaten, they say. Another man stands at the on-ramp at rush hour. I see him from the bus holding up his sign, homeless but still human. How easily this could be me. I cannot imagine anything more evil than killing off an entire way of life just so a few can make themselves richer. Is that why I'm alone? Thank you.